Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Team fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Hello and welcome to the Fair but Firm Show here, Monday morning in Las Vegas, the boxing capital of the world, with my co-host John Zimmel. We're here to talk a little bit about what happened this weekend. It wasn't much, John.
It wasn't much. Not a lot going on in the boxing world. There was a big UFC fight. They try not to go too head-to-toe with them. But we can discuss kind of the smaller fights that happened, as we know. There was a couple of little featherweight scraps this weekend. You have Emmanuel Navarrete, who we remember as taking Isaac Dogbay's belt and then beating him for it in the rematch. It was gruesome both times.
Yeah, we thought that was going to be the other way around. We thought maybe
Dogbay would do it.
Dogbay had a bad night, but he came
back. He looked even worse in the second fight.
Exactly, he took a pound.
And Navarrete has gotten better every fight. I mean, he looked, you know, like he might have just, like you said, got lucky in the first fight, even though he was much bigger. But no, he looked phenomenal. Now, if you remember Isaac Dogbay's name, because he won the belt against Jesse Magdaleno in another upset that no one saw coming. And Jesse Magdaleno was on the undercard. And he looked really good. Jesse Magdaleno looked really good.
He looked good winning the fight. You know, he got cut accidental headbutt on the bridge of the nose. Then he got an elbow in the later rounds and ended up a technical decision.
Yeah.
But he looked pretty decent. He looked stronger at 126.
Yes.
So which is what his brothers always told him all along. You got to go up and wait. You know, being out of bantamweight, you're not doing it. So sometimes that's how we fight it. They lose out weight to stay in that division. But sometimes you got to move up. When you're getting older,
you got to move up. Man, it happens to everybody.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It happened to me.
Happened to you? Exactly. Yeah. You got to get a little bigger. You got to get a bigger belt. Sometimes that's in boxing. Sometimes that's in life.
Exactly.
It's just the way it goes.
Exactly.
But so I guess fans of that division, Joe, are wondering, are we going to see Navarrete versus Magdaleno next? Does Magdaleno look like whatever plagued him in the Dogbay fight, he's fixed? Does he look improved from that fight? Does he have what he needs?
I think that he had to go back to the drawing board.
I think so, too, because Dogbay beat him good, man.
Yeah, but, you know, he came back now. He looked pretty decent. And it looked like his weight now that he's at now, 126, he probably has a better chance. Yeah, he feels stronger. He looked stronger Saturday night in beating Divacca.
Yes.
And was it
Navarrete beat Divacca?
It was
Ramirez, I think.
Yeah, I think it was whatever.
Name was
that Magdaleno's
opponent.
Good.
Yeah, he did look good. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah,
yeah. And then of course, you know, we hear all this other talk. Lennox Lewis behind us here. Of course, Lennox Lewis, one of the great heroes in heavyweight boxing.
Absolutely.
You know, I've got to say, of all time, he's one of the top
ten. One of the greatest. I mean, there's a lot of boxing fans out there, a lot on the internet that you'll find that will say that if there was a head-to-head tournament against all the fighters of all time, there's a lot that believe Lennox Lewis would come out on top.
Well,
he was a very complete heavyweight fighter and one of the greatest ever to do.
Yeah, he was very competitive, very good, and I had the honor of refereeing him on numerous occasions, about three times.
Well, what fights? Do you remember?
Yeah, I did it with in Great Britain. I ref him his first time when he fought a major fight, I think a guy named Jackson. Then he fought Andrew Galata, that we stopped in two rounds.
Yeah.
And I forgot the other one that I refereed with him. He's a big one of the better ones out there. I remember Galata. I mean, it was a fight that I told Galata. You know, Galata had that.
So when Galata kept hitting him in the...
He kept hitting Reddick Bo low and got disqualified.
Yeah, that was the Reddick Bo.
And then he fought Lennox Lewis. I told Galata, I don't want all this low blow stuff. It's not going to stop. It's not going to happen tonight. I'll disqualify you. Right off the first one you hit it, disqualification. And what happened, he got hit in the chin. I think it was second round. I had to stop it.
Yeah.
The fight took place in Atlantic City.
Yeah, he treated Riddick Bowe's beanbag like a speed bag. He just kept hitting it over and over again.
Oh, my God.
That was hard to watch, man. It was like, he was fighting competitively, and they still had to stop it. Like, look, man, this is not how you fight.
Yeah, but when he fought Mike Tyson, I mean, that was a fight, you know, that... the fans were really surprised to see how Lennox Lewis destroyed Mike Tyson.
Both times, man. I mean, he looked good, bro. Lennox Lewis he's absolutely phenomenal. Now, one thing I do want to touch on why we have these things behind us, we are recording out of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. We mention it every week, but I don't think we've mentioned it yet today. And one of the perks about recording out of this, you know, historic venue is that we have these big posters. Last week you saw Mike Tyson, this week Lennox Lewis. So every week I think we want to talk about the people behind us and just feature one of the awesome aspects of being in this, like I said, historic venue. But also he was in the news this week.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Oh, my
not
God.
Through no fault of his own.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Joshua, what's going on with him?
They've been going back and forth for a while now, man. They always have. And I got to ask, because Anthony Joshua called him a clown. And he's always been critical of Anthony Joshua, you know, kind of throughout his whole career. And I have to ask, honestly, do you think it has something to do with the fact that Lennox Lewis is probably the most decorated, most accomplished, probably greatest, not just heavyweight, but boxer ever out of England, and he never got embraced in the same way that Anthony Joshua had, I mean, almost immediately entering his pro career. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he was from Jamaica, but fought for Canada in the Olympics, and then claimed, and he never really embraced any part of his, of his country. And as we know, this sport is probably the most tribal sport on the planet. So if you don't have, you know, a country or a flag behind you, you're not going to have the same amount of fanship.
Yeah,
Do you think part of that is kind of the jealousy of how come he gets all this love, when I never got this love?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. But then again, you know, Lennox Lewis.
And is he right to think that?
Lennox Lewis is kind of guy. He's kind of quiet. He's not a loudmouth guy. Mm-hmm. He's not a talker. And Anthony Joshua, just the opposite. He likes to talk a lot.
And, he speaks very well. Yeah.
He speaks very well, and he's a good rapper, too. He can rap.
You said that. Yeah, you said that last week.
I was listening last week, and I told a couple of fighters that, yeah, we saw that. He's a good rapper. But anyway, but Anthony Joshua is really homebred. You know, so he got 100% backing.
He fought for them in the Olympics in London. I mean, that's how much more, might as well have tea with the queen.
And that's the reason why he is so much more popular than Lennox Lewis. But you Brits out there know that Lennox Lewis fought from his heart, from the United Kingdom. He always felt, and you know what? It happens sometimes. And when you move from one country to another, I know when I moved from New York, I got recruited to come out to Las Vegas. I was not treated the same way I was treated back east. I was not considered a local guy.
Yeah, because you weren't at the time.
Because I was imported here to Nevada from back east. So they still considered me the first 5-6 years. They consider still me an East Coast referee until after a while then.
On Las Vegas soil,
yeah. Then when they saw that I was here to stay, and I gave them 20 years of my boxing skills.
Yeah, after 20 years they started.
Then they said, well, then I was the first to get inducted into the International Hall of Fame.
And the Nevada Hall.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to earn it. And you know you got to earn it. But sometimes people just don't accept that. It's a little jealousy.
Joe,
because what happened with Anthony Joshua. But, you know, Lennox Lewis, I take my hat off to him. The British would be very proud of his accomplishments.
We've touched on this in the past. I think this is indicative of a bigger problem in boxing that you see where a lot of the greats, you saw it with Mike Tyson and Deontay Wilder. You saw it with Juan Manuel Marquez talking about Canelo Alvarez.
Right.
A lot of times guys, especially countrymen, you know, Marquez and Canelo and all these, they kind of denigrate the achievements of the newer generation because in their mind it makes theirs look better. Yeah. And I don't get it.
I mean,
I don't like it. I don't know why their accomplishments can't just stand on their own.
It's ignorance. You know, really, it's ignorance, immaturity. All that comes because...
It's bad for the sport, right, Joe?
It is bad for the sport. But, you know, in a way, they think they can talk about it. They want to try to show off that they made some accomplishments. But, I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez, who can be greater in Mexico than Julio Cesar Chavez? Nobody can.
Not in there. Not for them.
But there's fighters out there that claim that they're better than Julio Cesar Chavez. And I'll tell you, you know, the whole country is behind Chavez.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a big thing. A big thing about this sport that drives it is the nostalgia aspect. A lot of fight fans will, you know, grind about. I mean, how many times do you hear and probably say, and I have heard you say, this fight game isn't like it used to be. The heavyweight division isn't like it used to be. It's a lot of nostalgia that we look back on, and there always will be. 20 years from now, I'll be saying welterweight division isn't like it was when Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence were running it.
Right.
It's just the nature of the sport. But part of that isn't helped by former champions denigrating their fellow countrymen's achievements. And I think it's just it's bad for boxing, and it's not a good look. You don't want that. You don't want that look. It'd be better if you empowered the next generation as opposed to.
But you know, that's all I got to do a lot with ego, and fighters think that
there's
nobody better than them. And I've learned throughout the years that you got to leave your ego out the door. Let's go forward and look about helping others, get people on the right track. Other fighters support other fighters. But, you know, it's so funny. When you come to the Hall of Fame induction like we had last week here in the Battle Hall of Fame, all the champions were together.
That's all respect.
It was all respect, a lot of unity amongst everybody. It was so nice to see the embracing of all these champions. They were competitive against one another, but yet they were there hugging, embracing. It was like one big family. That's what boxing is like.
It is like a family. And you're right. Any event that you go to, you'll notice the fighters really do respect and love each other and stuff like that. I mean, even you've seen, I think it was an event less than a year ago, and it was at the Hublot event, and you saw Mayweather and De La Hoya joking with each other, and these guys are famously, you know what I mean, rivals on Twitter and in the ring and out of the ring. But at the end of the day, if you've stepped in this square circle, if you've fought on that level that the champions have all fought at, you have a certain respect for other champions.
That's right. You know, I respect all these fighters. I've been in the ring with these guys myself. I can feel it. I can see it. You know, hands on, how these guys are with each other. The bad blood that goes on, but then after it's all over, whether the final bill, they embrace each other.
Almost every time, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and I like to see that. And that's what, you know, boxing is all about, being a nice, we're in the hurt business, but we really love each other to the end.
I got a question, because Anthony Joshua made a bunch of statements this week. He was in the news a lot. Obviously, he's promoting a fight. That's what's going to happen. Not a bad thing, but I have some questions about a few of those statements. I'd like to go one by one. One was the Lennox Lewis thing. We obviously just discussed that, and like I said, I think we've covered that pretty well. He says that he regrets letting Andy Ruiz hold his belts before the fight. He said, as a psychological thing, letting another man hold your belts like that, he feels like it took, I don't know what he thinks. I don't know. Do you think, is there any validity to this?
No.
Right?
That's just smack talk. That's all it is.
But that's a weird thing, right? I mean, it's not really smack.
He's got nothing else to talk about. You know, he's so embarrassed that he lost to another fighter that was, he was like a 11-1 underdog.
Yes.
This Ruiz, and he comes back. But he should feel better. You know who should really feel better? Mike Tyson, who was when he fought...
Buster Douglas?
He fought Buster Douglas.
42.
He was a 40-1 underdog, Buster Douglas, and he knocked out Mike Tyson. So if anybody should feel bad, it's Mike Tyson. 11-1, not that bad.
So let me ask you that, because I want to make a comparison there, because it's important, and you're right. It's not that bad comparatively. Mike Tyson, you know, fought a good fight and had a knockdown just like Anthony Joshua did, but he got taken down by one big knockout blow that put him out. Whereas Anthony Joshua got knocked down four different times throughout the fight, was clearly out of it, was clearly outpaced, outbeaten in every way. And he said this week, the next subject that I want to touch on, he said that Ruiz beat him by a lucky punch.
No, there was no lucky punch.
Which one?
It was
100 lucky punches, Joe.
He got hit with a lot of punches. And it was maybe that he says it was lucky because, you know, there's nothing else he can say but say it didn't happen for real. He said, I cannot believe it happened for real.
Yeah.
He said, it was luck.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't lucky luck,
punch.
Man.
No, it wasn't.
The guy came prepared to take your belt.
It's a heavyweight division. Every punch is a. You know what I mean?
Every heavyweight is a puncher. You know, if you're a heavyweight, you have.
We saw Tyson Fury knock somebody out in the second round, and he's one of the. I don't want to say. Yeah, I guess they would call it lightest B-class. Punchers.
Yeah.
In the heavyweight division, but it's the heavyweight division. Everything over 168 has one punch power. That's just the way it goes.
And you know, you don't have those muscles on the chin, and that's what happens. But anyway,
Anthony Joshua got muscles everywhere else. Yeah, not on his temple.
Not on the chin and on the side of your head.
Can
you imagine having muscles out of the head?
If anyone had them, it'd be Joshua, but I'm telling you, he doesn't.
Yeah. But anyway, and talking about these up-and-coming fights, don't forget we got Errol Spence fighting
Sean Porter
in September. That's going to be a good fight.
We're going to be talking about that a lot
coming
up.
When that fight comes up, we're looking for the winner of that fight to fight Manny Pacquiao. I mean, that would be the good fight. Pacquiao, the winner of Errol Spence or Porter. That would be a good fight. But then I hear there's a lot of talk about Mayweather going to Saudi Arabia to fight Manny Pacquiao, but they said, no, that's all old.
Yeah, Mayweather addressed that. He came out and said obviously that's going to get a ton of attention. It was the highest grossing fight of all time, but apparently that was an old video from a long time ago. I remember hearing rumors of it a few years back, but now we got, you know, it's in the news because it's circling all around social media, but he's addressed it, said it was an old video. There are no talks happening. The only reason it even came about was because of the Saudi Arabia talks with Ruiz and Anthony Joshua, obviously that fight being announced. And I have a question about that fight because Ruiz has now put his foot down saying, you know, I'm not gonna take that match unless I get more money. I think this now this is Bob Arum came out and said that this was a bad move by Eddie Hearn announcing it'd be in Saudi Arabia before he had Ruiz signed to the contract. Now the only reason that matters because Ruiz is under contract with the rematch clause. The only reason this matters is because he could demand more money. Because they can't contractually obligate him to go to Saudi Arabia because his country, the United States of America, has advised people not to travel to Saudi Arabia because it's dangerous. So he could get out of that contract by saying, look, my own country has advised me not to go there.
Right.
So he could say, look, unless you give me a piece of that big pie that you just got for this venue, do you think Bob Arum's onto something here? Did Eddie Hearn maybe miscalculate by announcing it before getting the signature?
Well, you know, I don't know what was said, what was done as far as contract concerned. There's a lot of talk about certain things.
We're not in that room. Yeah.
Certain things would not put out a contract, and we don't know. So I don't know what Byram had in place and what Eddie Hearn had in place. But the thing is that when they get lawyers together, they say, you know what, we want to fight this clause on the contract because, of course, they say we've been advised not to travel to our country. Well, that's a legitimate reason why maybe they shouldn't go, you know. But if you are going to go, you know what, I want to get paid more money.
I want to get paid.
And I'm the champion, so I should get paid equally or better.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I agree with you, man.
And that's the way it is in the real world.
If they had gone anywhere else, they could have used that rematch clause and said, look, man, either sign it or we'll sue you. But because they went to one of the few countries in the world where they've been advised not, where he's been advised not to go, now they're in a bit of a legal loophole situation.
Well, you know, maybe they knew that going in. Let's say, you know, let's say yes, and we'll sign on that, and then later on we'll pull out because who wants to fight in Saudi Arabia?
We want to get a little bit extra money. Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
But anyway, the good businessmen know what they're doing, and Bar Arum and his people, and you know, they all know that he was an attorney, and he knew, you know, he got good attorney. He's been advised. I'm sure that this decision not made by Eddie Hearn himself. Or the Ruiz people.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's definitely other people.
This is behind the scenes attorneys fighting this, you know, and get the right deal for the right fighter. And of course, it's all a business, and they're going to fight and see who wins at the end.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't work out with these two fighters, let the attorneys get in the ring. Let them fight it out.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch Eddie Hearn fight. He's like 6'4". I'd watch two promoters fight all day.
Oh, my God.
Like we were talking about with when you said if De La Hoya can't get a date for September 15th, he should get in there himself. I think so, too.
Well, so what's happening with that with Canelo Alvarez and...
Well, here's the deal. We got a big fight coming up this weekend. You know, Kovalev's fighting Yarde this weekend. Yarde refused step-aside money. He said, I'm the mandatory. Right. He refused, according to him, as much step-aside money as he's going to make for this actual fight.
Right.
And he still refused to do it.
Right.
According to Kovalev's, I think, is either his trainer or his promoter, he said that the deal is already in place to fight Canelo if he beats Yarde this weekend.
That's Kathy Duba, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, as a promoter, man, for main events.
Yeah, absolutely. And he said that if Canelo, if Kovalev gets it done, defends his belt against Anthony Yarde this weekend, the UK's own Anthony Yarde, then the deal is already in place for Canelo to take that fight next. And according to every report, that's the fight Canelo wants. He really wants that fight, and more power to him for, you know, wanting to fight the light heavyweight champion of the world. What an exciting thing, you know what I mean?
But is Eddie Hearn's with DAZN kind of okay with that or not?
Well, Eddie Hearn's not, you know, he's a partner with DAZN. He's not in charge of DAZN. That's John Skipper. But, yeah, of course. I mean, they said either Callum Smith, Kovalev, or Triple G as the next opponent. And, you know, somebody gives you $365 million and three options, you probably should choose one of those three options.
Exactly. Well, you know, talking about Triple G, you know, he was a fighter that's never been knocked down in amateur career or professional career.
But he can get hit with a car and he'd be cool.
I don't know, but he's getting up in age, and a lot of people say, you know, they want to take him on, but I think Triple G still has a little spark of the old flesh.
Yeah, well, now he's going to fight Sergey Derevyanchenko for that interim belt. That got stripped from Canelo, which is going to be an interesting one. And apparently he's going to be working with Eddie Hearn moving forward directly, not just through DAZN as a subsidiary. Him and Eddie Hearn are going to be kind of partners. I don't know where that leaves Tom Loeffler. I didn't ask. I just know that's what, you know, that's what the report that came out from Coppinger is, that he's going to be working hand-in-hand with Hearn, which might be good for matchmaking. Might not hurt. I mean, it's good for match room. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's all a business, like we said before, and hopefully they work it out. But hopefully that the fans get their money's worth, and we want to see good fights out there. And talking about getting good fights out there, here's a big, big rumor. Adrian Broner is calling out Canelo Alvarez, calling out Triple G, and it says that if that doesn't work out, he'll go down at a catchweight to fight Lomachenko.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. I mean, Adrian Broner, he's lost how many fights in the last
couple of fights? His last three fights, he lost to Mikey Garcia, he drew against Jesse Vargas, and then he lost to Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, so and he said when he lost to Manny Pacquiao, he says, I won that fight.
He says that every fight, he said it against Jesse Vargas.
I mean, what's going on with Adrian Broner?
Okay, I want to admit, first of all, I want to do a quick disclaimer. I usually am a huge fan of Adrian Broner's antics. This is an entertainment business, and he is entertaining.
He is.
I enjoy watching him talk. He makes me laugh. He's funny at press conferences. This is cool. But there's only a certain amount of attention that we can continue to give this guy unless he's going to produce in the ring. And that's just the way it is. He said two weeks ago, he said he was retiring and then because he wanted to do drugs. And then literally he said, now I can shoot heroin, do acid. He said it on an Instagram post. And then the very next day said, oh, actually, sorry, I'm not doing drugs. People reached out to me. They were worried. I'm unretired now. So he retired for a full day.
So you mean you've been doing drugs already, you think?
No, I don't think he did any drugs. I just think he wants attention, man.
He's like a functional addict?
No, I don't think he's an addict. I really don't. I know he likes to party a little bit. You know, he goes out a lot more than, like, you know, you see Floyd doing. But he just wants attention. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're entertaining. You'll get attention.
Yeah.
But when you talk about, and then a week ago, he wants Lomachenko at 138. And then now, a week later, yesterday, he wants Canelo or Triple G at 155. Canelo's a 168-pound champion.
Yeah.
How is he going to go down to 155 to fight? Why would anyone do this?
Well, he's trying to do it because he wants to get a paycheck. But, you know, Adrian Broner has never tested positive for any enhancement drugs.
No, and I'm not saying he is.
And he has, you know, he has, we know that he's drank. He likes to drink.
Yeah, he's a partier. Yeah, man.
He's a party. But, you know, he seems to be, and I like the guy. You know, I met him and I talked to him when he was coming up the ranks. And I gave him some good advice. And this is what I didn't want to see him do to get himself in trouble.
He's in a
lot of legal trouble, and I don't want to see that because, honestly, he's a good guy. And I think he's been around with the wrong people, and maybe when you start doing things that you should be doing by drinking and doing the wrong thing with the wrong people, you're going to end up getting in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened to him, I think.
I agree, man. Yeah. I mean, he's a four-weight world champion. I want to be really clear. Adrian Broner is a good guy, I mean, in the sense that he's a good fighter. Yeah. I enjoy talking about him because he is entertaining, and he's funny, and he's fun. And he puts on good press conferences. He puts on, even when he's out of his mind, like, you know, when he's talking about how I beat Pacquiao and everyone knows. That's fun to me. Talk about when Jim Gray said you're 3-4 in your last 7 fights. And he said, I'll be 7-0 against you. Like, why are you threatening Jim Gray? What did Jim Gray do to you? He's just talking.
Well, you're talking about people talking. How about Conor McGregor? What's going on with him this last weekend?
I think this is a perfect example.
I mean, Conor McGregor, he's a guy that's gotten real famous, has worldwide recognition for his talent and whatnot. And here he is. He's on the news the other day with some bar, did something with some.
He got into
a fight. Come on, what's going on? When he had the incident last year, the year before.
With the bus?
Throwing that wheel cart, whatever it was, out of bus through a window and cut somebody inside the bus. He get himself in all kinds of trouble.
Let me tell you what happened.
Jumping out of the cage, going after a fan or something, a trainer.
Khabib did that, but he was in. He just got beat by that guy. But
McGregor was in the ring that day.
He was in the ring, but he didn't jump out. You know what I mean? It was the other guy. Just so we're not, I want to credit where it's due. But here's the deal, Joe. Conor McGregor, like you said, got real famous real fast. He became the most famous man in UFC, most famous man in UFC history. The Fertittas and Dana White promoted him immensely. They did everything they could, put him on the cover of their video game, put him everywhere.
Right.
And then he went to our sport and he made money.
Yeah.
He made $99 million fighting a boxing match.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, sir. He looked across the ring and saw a man named Floyd Mayweather who has excelled in every way of keeping himself relevant, keeping himself available for paycheck. Why did we lead the show off with Mayweather Pacquiao too? Because of an old social media video. Because this is what he does. He stays relevant and he's better at it than anyone. That's why Adrian Broner's still in the news. That's why Adrian Broner's calling out other fighters, because he watched Floyd's model and he's trying to replicate it. The difference is, one, Floyd was always excellent in the ring. And the difference is, two, Floyd didn't make it look like attention seeking. It made it look like something someone wanted to watch. Here he is in Tokyo with Manny Pacquiao. Here he is at a Clippers game with Manny Pacquiao. Now you're wondering, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Floyd's always been excellent at marketing himself and staying relevant. You're seeing a Conor McGregor and Adrian Broner attempt to follow that model, and they're not Floyd Mayweather.
Well, they can. It's not easy. You know, not that easy to get up there and try to
remain relevant.
Yeah. But you know, Conor McGregor still has a lot of talent. He has a lot of name recognition. He has a bigger fan base than they do in boxing. And I remember when he fought the Mayweather, they called me up. They said, Joe, we want you to train McGregor on the rules of boxing. And it was an honor for me to do that.
Of course.
And I met him personally. Nice guy. I said, wow, he's a lot different behind the scenes than what he is in front of the cameras.
Well, of course.
He's putting on a show.
But and he's great at that.
Yeah, he's great at that. But what happened last week at the bar, There was nothing to no reason
for him. Honestly, man, I don't think it's, and you know what? I just said this stuff about him trying to follow that model, and I think a lot of what he does is that. But this and the bus thing, I honestly think at this point he's unstable, and I hate people who try and diagnose people from a video they saw. I'm not diagnosing the guy. I don't know what he's on. I don't know what's going through his mind. But I know that that's not something that someone in their right mind does.
Well,
it's not something people with hundreds of millions of dollars do.
I can tell you one thing. Sometimes you know, when you're in the hurt business, taking these blows to the head, sometimes you're walking around with a full deck. You don't even know it.
Yeah, you're right.
Know? Sometimes you do an evaluation test, and you find out where something is wrong with this guy. There's definitely something wrong. And, of course, you get some of these fighters, they can get off certain things that they rap against them. They say, wait a minute, let's do a medical evaluation, see where he's at. The guy's taking punches, taking these blows to the head.
Yes.
All these concussions.
Not to mention kicks and elbows and everything else.
You're not going to be walking around with a full deck, you know? So this is some of the things you got to start look beyond, say, what's really going on? This is way out of line for anybody, any human being out there.
Absolutely, man. I just, and it's sad to watch because I think a lot of us really, I mean, when I talk about Adrian Broner being entertaining, Conor McGregor's on another level. Conor McGregor's intensely entertaining.
Yeah.
He's fun in the ring. He's fun outside the ring. He puts on a show. He's great at what he does, and that's what's made him so incredibly popular.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's hard to see once the talent starts slipping and then the attention starts slipping, you start noticing it's a lot harder to get it back.
To get it back, definitely. You know, that's why sometimes you say you're going to give him a second chance. I mean, Mike Tyson had some issues, and they gave him a second chance. He came back.
Yeah, but he never really ascended back to that level. You know what I mean?
Never went to that level, but I'm saying that there's fighters that have gone down. You got to give him a chance. Even Manny Pacquiao. He had some issues during the early part of his career.
Yes, sir.
And he came back. He got a second chance. He said, you know what? I like it better on the right side than going on the left side.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, sometimes we make mistakes in life. We say, oh, my God, I made a big mistake. You know, I should have gone the other way. But you learn from your mistakes. You know,
absolutely.
You go forward. That's all.
Let's hope so.
And I believe that we give people a second chance because these fighters, like I said, they get hit on the head. Almost on a daily basis, not only doing the fight, but doing what
training
training, the sparring sessions. You can take a lot of punishment there as well. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, a radio interview. We were talking about concussions. These fighters taking blows to the head. And when should they stop the fight? Should the doctor stop it sooner? The corner stop it? Or the referee? It's all because these fighters sometimes they're not coming back. I done some interviews most recently with some fighters, and I cut the interview short because I couldn't get their words out of
it
their mouth.
It's
because of the blows they get to the head. They slur their voices, the way they speak, and you know they're not 100% there. They think they're thinking all right, but something is wrong. It's all those blows to the head.
That's a constant reminder of it shouldn't take the deaths in the ring to constantly remind us just how dangerous this sport is. Just look at your favorite champions of old. What we were talking about, those nostalgia, boxing wasn't as good as back when this guy and this guy were fighting. Well, this guy and this guy probably aren't doing great now. And that's kind of how it goes. This is a dangerous business.
It is.
Full
it
of
is.
Hurt and pain and a million other things.
Yeah, and sometimes you can't blame these fighters. I look at some of these fighters, the kind of mistakes they're making, like Conor McGregor, and you get fighters, and some guys are incarcerated. There was a fighter in Argentina, Baltimore, mm-hmm. and he's arrested. He's in prison for I don't know how many years for raping his own daughter.
Yes.
Now, here's a guy that's taking a lot of punches to the head. The guy does not have a full deck. Something is wrong with this guy.
Clearly.
Something is not right in there. And those are the kind of guys, you look at them, they go to court, you say, okay, this guy doesn't belong in prison. He belongs in a mental institute. That's where he belongs.
Yeah.
Because he's not right. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and there's a lot of examples like that, man. I mean, and that just goes to show us, when we attack certain guys, when we call Anthony Joshua a quitter, and I don't mean us, I mean boxing fans, when they call Anthony Joshua a quitter, or they call Floyd Mayweather a runner, I mean, you think Floyd Mayweather didn't look at what happened to his uncle and look at the way that his uncle can't talk anymore and can't quite move anymore and thought, you know what? I'm going to make as much money as I can in this business while taking the least amount of punishment. And he did. I mean, he did it better than anyone's ever done it.
Name
in that
of the
regard.
Game is hit, don't get hit.
That's exactly it.
I mean, you can see some guys, they may look okay after the fight, but look at them 10 years later. You say, oh, my God, what happened to him?
That's the issue.
You know, that's the issue. When I see the other day, one of the fighters got an award here in Vegas, a Hall of Famer, and when he had to say a speech, he couldn't get two words out. He went back to his seat, and I got up off my seat, and I walked right over to his table, and I went in and I hugged him. It was because I did it because of emotions.
Yes.
I felt for the guy. I felt like, man, I refereed this guy two or three times in the past, and to see him up, he can't even speak, can't even get two words out. And I tried to interview him. I couldn't get any words. I had to cut the interview short. And it breaks my heart to see that, and it's all because they let the fights go either too long, the corner men are letting them fight more than, they should stop the fight early round. You know he doesn't have it, stop it. Then during the training sessions, all these sparring matches, they train maybe 50, 60 to 100 rounds to get ready for a particular fight. And those punches they're taking in the gym It's like a war. You go in there, you see the guy taking that kind of punishment. They get concussed doing training. And you know what? And it shows in the long run, it's going to show off in their career. You say, oh, my God, look at him today. They're walking on their heels. They need a guy to take them different places. They can't do it on their own anymore. So this is why we have to try to, you know, save the fight. I'd rather stop it.
At the end of the day, though, Joe, it is kind of inherent in the sport, right? I mean, it's still the hurt business. The other guy's trying to punch you in the head. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's why I want to ask. Dana White did an interview this weekend talking about wanting to go into the boxing business, and he said he's going to make it safer. I mean, what is he going to have him wear helmets, Joe? At the end of the day, it's still you're punching each other in the head, right?
It's all about getting the proper trainers and get good officials there to stop a little punch too soon and a punch too late. With that said, my fans out there, we love you guys. Keep your guards up at all time, protect us all the time. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up, brother. Take care. God bless.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch him up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.